You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Lord.
Can you think of a hotter topic than money? Some people say money makes the world go round. Others say, or at least act like, money is the key to happiness. Even the wealthiest people say they just need a little more. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, dives right into this issue as we study the personal journal of the richest man in the world in his day, King Solomon. But first, since we're on the subject, let's listen to Dr. McGee share the heart behind Through the Bible's fundraising practices.
From time to time, it was my custom to state the policy of the Through the Bible radio program. And it's time again for it to be stated, and I would like to do that. It has never been our plan or purpose from the very beginning to use high-pressure methods. We do not send out junk mail. Everyone that's on our mailing list got there because they asked to be put there, or else someone asked for them. We today believe that if you are not able to support the program and you want our notes and outlines, that God will raise up somebody down the street or over in the next town to send in enough for you and for them also. We believe that the real test is the support that comes from any area, and we will not continue on a program if we do not get a reasonable amount of support. And we always give every station a fair opportunity to see if it's going to pay for itself. And that, by the way, is all that we ask. We do from time to time appeal to you to support our foreign broadcasts. After all, we cannot ask them, that is, the Chinese or the people of India or the people of South America or the people in Russia to support our program. We believe that there are enough folk in this country that are interested in getting out the word over iron curtains, under bamboo curtains, and through the curtains of indifference and sin today to get the word of God out to the world. So we just let you know this and trust you'll understand that we do need your support, though we will not violate our rule by using high-pressure methods. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will bless this program as it goes out today. We pray you'll touch the hearts of those who listen. If they're hard hearts, may the word of God be a hammer to break that heart. If that heart is already broken, may the word of God be the balm of Gilead to bind it up. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we're off to Ecclesiastes 5 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we're in the section where this man using religion as a means of satisfaction. You see, Solomon made an experiment in life. Probably the only man that could have made this kind of an experiment. And he tried certain things like science, natural laws, studying that, wisdom and philosophy, pleasure. Materialism, that is living for the now. And then fatalism, which is a popular way of living today. And egoism, that is living for self. And then of all things, he tried religion. Now, that doesn't mean he tried God, because he didn't. And we saw that in this man found out that if you go through a form or a ritual, it won't satisfy your heart. And that you better be very careful when you deal with God, because he is a reality and he'll deal with you in a very, very definite way. Now let me read again verse 7. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, that is, all kinds of emptiness. But fear thou God. In other words, dreams and words are no substitute for a personal relationship with God. And somebody says, I've had a dream, or I've had an experience. And may I say to you that an experience is no substitute at all for a study of the Word of God. There are a great many people today that use an experience to even test the Word of God, instead of using the Word of God to test their experience. The important thing is that all experience should be tested by the Word of God. We are to try the spirits to see whether they are of God or not. And today a great many people go out on the tangent of experience and live there. That's religion. It appeals to the emotion. It appeals to the aesthetic sense. And it dwells upon experience. And does your faith today in Christ rest upon experience, or does it rest upon the naked Word of God? That's very important. Do you have religion, or do you have Christ? Now, verse 8, the last verse here in this section. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Now today we've heard of a great deal of corruption in the poverty program. Well, I believe that God deals with this type of thing as he does with nothing else. Those that are taking advantage of the poor, those today that are attempting to get rich at the expense of the poor, that, to my judgment, is something that God judges. And the very program that today makes a great many people feel comfortable that we now have become a generous people and we have a poverty program. Well, we also have a lot of corruption today. Now, God will look at that thing. And if you see the corruption and if you're in it, you ought to get out of it. I don't think a Christian can have part in a corrupt poverty program in any way whatsoever, any shape, form, or fashion. And you're to recognize one thing, that if you see the corruption, you can be sure of one thing, God sees the corruption. And God is going to do something about it. He will bring in judgment. And the history of this world rather bears that out. Governments that have attempted to bear down upon the poor, those governments fail. And I think probably the best example, the one that we are more acquainted with than any other, is the French. The French Revolution came. And it wasn't a nice, pretty thing by any means. It was an awful thing. But I think it was the judgment of God upon the corruption of a nation, that a few were living at the expense of the many, of the poor. And that is something God has had so much to say about. There's so much said about that when the Lord Jesus reigns, the poor are going to get a fair deal. They are going to find that there's one that is reigning that really means business when he says that he's going to do something for the poor, be justice and righteousness for them. And I don't think he's going to put them on the dole system. I don't think that he's going to give them out actually food stamps. I think that every person will make his contribution in that day, in the millennium. They'll make their contribution, and they will receive justice at his hands. Now, that leads us to this next division that we have here, something that this man pursued as no other man pursued, and that is the pursuit and enjoyment of wealth. Now, Solomon was in a position to do that better than anyone else. He alone was probably the richest man that's ever been on this earth. He cornered the gold market, and the wealth of the world was his. And he could buy anything that he wanted. And he gave himself over to the accumulation of gold. That was the thing that finally brought the downfall of the nation, was that the greed of nations outside, seeing the wealth there, moved in upon them. And then God let down the barrier, and after 5 years of putting up a wall of protection, that wall crumbled, and God let the nations of the world come in and help themselves. Now this man tries wealth, and this is what he says in verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. And the president of a great corporation that comes to the end of the year and sees a tremendous profit, that actually is not going to satisfy at all. You may have a great bank account. It may offer a certain amount of security to you and satisfaction, but it won't satisfy you. That won't satisfy you at all. It's going to be how you use it. Therefore, what he's saying is simply this: wealth is not wrong in itself, and Scripture never condemns wealth. It condemns the love of money, and that's the root of all evil. It's the love, not the money. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And to accumulate wealth for wealth's sake, that's wrong. And the miser thinks dollars are flat so they can be stacked. The spendthrift thinks they're round so they can be rolled. But both are entirely wrong. Man's attitude toward money, that is the thing that has made big business. It's made our system today, the profit system. There's nothing wrong with it in and of itself. The thing is wrong with the people that are in it. The system is not the thing that's wrong, but the people, because it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And there are several things that we want to say at this particular juncture, I think, that are important, and this section is saying this. The idea today, just to increase money for money's sake, just to get rich for riches' sake. And you see men held together, bound together in an arrangement just to make money for money's sake. I was very much interested in hearing a comedian that told about a play they had produced, and that he was thanking those that had participated and how they'd all cooperated. My, he was making quite a lovely speech, and there was no humor in it. Till finally, he came to the end, and he says, "And we have all been held together by one thing." And he paused a moment, and then he said, "Greed." Now, that's the thing that held them together. That's the thing that holds a great many things together today. It's the thing that holds big business together. It's the thing that holds the mafia together. It's the thing today that holds a great many organizations together. And the thing that is wrong is the accumulation of money for money's sake. And I must confess that I believe that it is wrong for one man or one organization to accumulate so much money, and that there be so many today that are in poverty and need. And I do believe, though this may sound radical, that something eventually will have to be done. Look at India today. They let the Maharaja, they let him become immensely wealthy, and the people are poverty-stricken. That's wrong. That's entirely wrong. And that is the thing that God condemns. And he condemns it because of the love of the money and the use, therefore, that's made of it. And whether it's accumulated or whether it is rolled like the prodigal today would roll it, or the spendthrift, it's entirely wrong. Money is something today, it's power, and it should be used for the glory of God today. And my friend, that's the thing that's wrong with godless capitalism and godless labor: greed, the love of money, and not using money for the glory of God. It would be wonderful if men would make money for the glory of God. It would be wonderful if men labored for money for the glory of God. It would be wonderful if it were put to a right use. And the only cure, of course, for it is to have Christ in the heart. This is a tremendous section of the Word of God. Now I'm going to hit some high points here now. Verse 11, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Just to grow for the sake of growth, a business or even a Christian organization or a church, is no good at all. I remember when we started out our program, my secretary and I did all the work, every bit of it. She received the letters, opened them, and I would read them, and we would talk about them, and we just had a little Mickey Mouse operation on one station, and we just get in a few letters each week, and we were thrilled with it. And honestly, it wasn't much of a problem. Now we have expanded. We have quite a crew and have wonderful folk, but I found out that just for the sake of increasing is no good at all. It increases your headache, it increases your workload, it increases your responsibility, and we're just not doing it for that sake. We want to get the Word of God out to as many people as possible, and that's the thing that I want to keep before me all the time. I thank God, and the Lord had to deal with me, and I tell you, in a rough way, when you let a man have cancer in order to put him down on his back so he'll look up to you and begin to take orders, then may I say to you, I think that you're prepared now to say something. And the thing I want to say is this one thing I do, and that's to get the Word of God out. But just to grow for the sake of growing today, and to have a big church for the sake of a big church, I had that for years. Nothing in the world but a headache. That's all in the world that it becomes, and there's no fun in it. There's no joy in it if you're just trying to grow. We're not just trying to grow. We're trying to get the Word of God out, and I have to keep that before me. This one thing I do, Vernon McGee, get the Word of God out. I hope you're my partner in that. Now let's move along here. He says here, verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. Why, it's sweet. And this is something to be good for this country today. I believe that every man ought to work for what he gets in this life. And he ought to be paid for what he gets and not out of line with everybody else. I tell you, there could be a lot of improvement made. You know, it'd be interesting if they turned it over to me, wouldn't it? I think it'd probably be in just as big a mess as it is today. Now, verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You see the difference between the two. The laboring man can only eat so much, and that's all. And if he doesn't have too much to eat, he's not a glutton, therefore. And he probably will sleep lots better by not overeating. But the rich man, he has an abundance. In fact, he has gourmet food all the time, and he gets pretty tired of it. And he has no appetite for it. But believe me, he has to worry about his riches. When we were in the Hawaiian Islands, why, we were permitted to stay in a swanky hotel just because of the fact that we had a large tour, and this chain of hotels permitted us to go there. It didn't cost us anything to stay there. And it didn't cost me anything, at least, to stay there. And the thing that I noted was how unhappy the people were out there to have a good time. And they were always worrying about their things. I had to wait down at the office one day, and you know what? A woman spent, in fact, I left and came back. She spent 30 minutes getting her jewels in a safety deposit box. And when I got up there, this girl says she's been here before, and she'll be down here a dozen times to check on them and take something out to wear, then bring it back. You know, I'm glad my wife doesn't have that kind of a problem. That poor woman had a real problem of having probably, this woman said, probably $100,000 worth of jewelry. Well, glad I don't have it. Riches present a real problem. Maybe that's the reason the Lord didn't let me become rich. Now, will you notice, he says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Actually, riches today don't help a great many people. What a picture that you have here. Now, the poor man, sometimes happier than the rich man, therefore. However, Paul said he knew how to abound and he knew how to be abased. Very frankly, It's harder, I'm told, to abound than it is to be abased. However, I like to try both. Verse 14, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there's nothing in his hand. In other words, you accumulate a fortune, leave it to a boy, and he'll run through it. He'll spend it all. But today, men have become pretty wise. They don't leave it to their son. They leave it to a fund or to a trustee or whatever they do, and somebody else doles it out to the boy. And therefore, they're able to keep their riches. And we've got a lot of prominent men today that never made a dime in their lives. And they would not know how to use money. But the reason they stay rich is because of the way the old man left it. And that, to my judgment, is the thing that's becoming a great question today. Now, will you notice, and may I pause to say this, I think that finally, in this nation, the division is not going to be between races. I don't think it'll be black and white, or the minority groups, and the white race, or the black. I don't think that's going to be ultimately the problem. The problem's going to finally narrow down to rich and poor. Always has, and I think it always will. That'll be the line of demarcation. And I think some of the rich have sensed that, and that's the reason that so many rich men are liberal today, is because they've already got their money, you can't touch it. They can use it, and they're willing to bring in liberalism so you can be taxed and you can pay for the programs that are being used today. They do not pay for it at all. Now, that is the real problem. And may I say to you that this man, Solomon, is speaking into that kind of a problem, and that these things will not satisfy, nor do we have the solution to the problems of life like this. Now he moves on, and I'm going to go on into the sixth chapter here. He says in verse 1, there is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it's common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it's an evil disease. A friend of mine years ago told me that he saw John D. Rockefeller Sr. down in Florida sitting eating his meal. And he said he saw a poor man. In fact, the man was a waiter, but he was eating way over at the side. That poor man, the waiter, who had access to the food, had a big steak before him. And he says Rockefeller had a few little crumbs, actually. He said, just little health food before him. And there's the man that could pay for it, and the other man couldn't. What a difference there was in the two. Better to have a good appetite than a big bank account, by the way. Now he says, if a man beget 100 children, live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that untimely birth is better than he. Now he says something else here. The rich man actually can eat only 3 meals a day. He can sleep only on one bed at a time, and he cannot live longer than the poor man. I don't care how many doctors he has. The rich man's life is but a shadow. There is no pocket in his shroud. Job, a rich man, said that he came here with nothing and he was going out the same way. And some spend their lives in this kind of an emptiness, and actually riches can become a barrier. Now that's what he's discussing in this chapter here. And we're going to leave it right there, because next time we're going to pick up our study in chapter 7, and we're going to see the do-gooder. Now, Solomon became a do-gooder. This is your average church member in your liberal church today. And I can't think of any person that's living a sorry life as the do-gooder. Oh, that poor fella, and I've met so many of them, I feel so sorry for them. We'll look at him next time. May God richly bless you, I believe.
Dr. McGee identified a worldwide problem. We're trying to get to heaven on our own. You know, many people think if I just do enough good, then that will outweigh the bad. It's an issue no matter where you live, and we'll learn more about it in our next study. Until then, to be in touch, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. That's 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time.
Jesus,
our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a five-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God of Melbourne, Florida. Here we are again by the grace of God on the radio broadcast. I pray for all our faith partners and radio listeners to be blessed by the radio broadcast today. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We give the honor and the praise and the glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one in whom I serve. And I give him all the praise. I thank him for waking me up this morning and allowing me to see this wonderful day. Because this is the day that he has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it, thanking him for everything, the good things, everything that takes place, praising him in everything. In all things give thanks unto the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. We thank God today that the power of his word is so magnificent until whatever situation that anyone is being challenged with today, the word has the power. The word is able to do the work. And when we invoke the word of God in any given situation, the word of God takes precedent because all power is in that word. Just as he said in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why we want to preach the word of God. We want to exalt the word of God. We want to live the word of God. We want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, deceiving ourselves. This word is magnificent. It's power. And it will change your life if you take a moment and just open up your heart and say, Lord, that word that I've heard on that radio, is it really what it says it is? And if it is, I open my heart to receive this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Glory to God. There's nothing we can do apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need him every minute of the day. The one in whom we serve, he sleeps not slumber, and he's watching over us all. So this is what we have to understand, the reality of the word of God, and give him all the praise. Glory to God. Well, today, I want to look at what the word of God says in Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. And by the way, you see, there's nothing one can do without being filled with the Spirit of the living God. You won't be successful. You may be able to do something, but you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And many people, The day that they're speaking intellectually, they're trying to feed God's people with their intellect. It won't work. And if it's going on in your fellowship, you need to speak to the pastor and say, well, we are not looking for information, but we're looking for revelation. And revelation only comes by the Spirit of the living God. So we want to give the Lord all the praise and see what he says, because listen, your soul is at stake. And what is happening is that you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that he said. So politics has no place in what we are saying here today. Car wash and all these things that people bring in to short circuit the gospel. We want to preach Christ and him crucified. We want to give the honor and the glory to the name that's above every name. Praise God. The name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Mr. Glory, what we want to do, we want to look at the Word of God today. We want to go into Mark 16 and verse 7. We want to speak about the supernatural. The super,
17.
Mark 16, 17.
Yeah.
And we want to speak about the supernatural power of Almighty God. When a child of God is born again and have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, praise God, he could be used supernaturally. And this is what we have to do. We have to get out of the four walls of the church. What we have to do is, by the grace of God, is to go out into the streets, the hedges, and the highways, because the only way we can compel people to come in to the body of Christ, praise God, is that we must go outside. Leave the stained glass windows and the padded pews and go out and tell people about Jesus. Because that's just what's going to happen in these last hours. When the Lord Jesus Christ, before he returns, what is going to happen is that the church is going to wake up. The church is going to see what is going on and come alive and be able to go out in the streets, meeting people on the street that's sick and asking them if they could pray for them. And folks will get healed because God will honor all of that. When you're out there, praise God, laying hands on the sick, that they shall recover. Praise God. Well, we're looking at Mark 16, verse 17, and the scripture tells us, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I want to tell you today that it does not say that these signs shall follow the pastor or the evangelist or any of the other that's in the fivefold ministry. These signs will follow you if you believe. Praise God. If you believe, these signs will follow you. And we thank God for that today. They are supernatural signs. They're not signs that we can accumulate or conjure up and say, well, listen, I can do that and I can do it in my own strength. Well, it won't work.
Yep.
It won't work. You need the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yep, because it says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. That's Jesus' name.
Amen.
You must
Amen.
Believe in what he has done.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You must look back at Calvary's cross and see what Jesus did. And let me tell you something. In Romans 8 and verse 11, the scripture tells us this. See, you have power, an unreserved source that you are not familiar with. The moment that you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and gave your heart to him, the Holy Spirit came into you. This is a powerful this is God that came into your life. And praise God. And you're able to do anything. The enemy, he cringes when a saint that comes to the Lord, if he only have no more than maybe 5 minutes in the Lord, he has power, praise God, to take authority over the devil. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. So it says here, Mr. Curry, in Mark 16, verse 17, these signs, they are supernatural signs. You cannot fake it till you make it. These are signs here that only emanate through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's not for just no pastor or deacon or bishop or whoever you want to call. Listen, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. If you believe in the name of Jesus, my God, you are able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Glory, let's look at what the scripture says and let the word echo through the airways into the hearts of those that tune into the broadcast. Because what's happening is that it's Jesus' word. It's not ours. We're being obedient and just talk about his word. But it's his word. This is why it's so important. It's so important that a child of God, that the church today, I'll put it in that fashion, that they should preach Christ and him crucified and watch and see the people that get saved. Glory to God. Realizing that what their sins were and they're now forgiven, my God, they would run back to Jesus. Praise God. And say, yes, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins.
I'd like to refer back to what you ministered on Sunday. Jesus' name is above every name. If you read Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. So at that name, you can cast out devils, you can speak with new tongues, you can take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is all in his name. Amen. Everything is a name, but his name is above any name.
And when we look at what the operation of the name of Jesus, I want to tell you, it's all powerful. The name of Jesus is all powerful. And this is why when we're encountering oppositional activity from the enemy, we are to invoke the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because all power is in that name. And what happens is that, and your anointing is there as well. So what happens is that you can rebuke, praise God, rebuke the adversary. Jesus said in James 4 and verse 7, says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And that's exactly what we're doing. We are resisting the devil.
Amen.
Because he's trying, and he's not going to stop messing with you until you're taken out of this world. But I want to tell you today that when the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, you ask yourself the question, praise God, no matter what's coming up against you, you ask yourself the question, well, what is it, Lord? Praise God. What is it you want me to do? Praise God. The challenges that are coming up against me, you're able to take authority over them, because you've given that authority to those, that the 70 that you sent out and they came back. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Well, Minister Glory, the apostles were there as well, you know,
the
70. They all were part of the deal. So what it is that you have power.
Yes, you do.
You can evoke the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
In Philippians 2, and it tells us here that that powerful verse of scripture, it says here that, Paul says that he has not apprehended yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this one thing that he know, he's forgetting those things which are behind him and reaching forth for those things which are before him.
Praise God.
He said, I press.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. He didn't say the church press. He said, I press.
Mm-hmm.
I press unto the mark with a fire, our calling in our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
We shared a wonderful God.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Mark 16, it says, these signs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we to look for when we're in. No matter what church you're in, look for these signs. Praise God. I'm not saying the worshiper signs, but look at these signs. See if there's availability, because if it's not, what supernatural power that's being demonstrated in the fellowship? Anybody have sufficient amount of finances, they can get a building and have people to come there. But if there's no anointing there, it's not going to work. You need the anointing. Praise God. I said, you need the anointing. Every one of us need this anointing so that we can do what Jesus wants us to do. Praise God. So the 70 went out, came back rejoicing, and then they said that, Master, even the devils are subject to us before time. Let me tell you something. The devils know what's going to happen to them. They're going to be tormented, because in one verse of scripture, he says that, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. And you come down to torment us before our time. My God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But they know their state. They know the state of mind. But I tell God that everything that he's doing, he gives us that power, and we can stand against forces of darkness. So these are the signs that are following every believer. I said every believer. There are no special believer, every believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. It never said the pastor. It never said the bishop. If you are a believer, these signs should be in your life. Praise God. It should be in your life. So in my name, they shall cast out devils. I said, in his name, you're able to cast out devils because this is supernatural power.
Yes.
It's operating in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I quoted Romans 8 and verse 11, the scripture tells us, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead should also quicken your mortal bodies, make you alive. Good God Almighty, we got to really, as children of God, know who we are and be steadfast with that,
mm-hmm.
holding on to the unchanging hand. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
So Mark 16:17 said these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes.
Not them that go to church. Not them that doing all of those stuff.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Using that name.
Use that name. Yes.
That name is highly exalted. Been given a name which is above every name.
Hallelujah.
That at the name of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Hallelujah.
To the glory of God. And he is.
That's right.
He is Lord. Whether God gets the glory.
Whether you're saved or not, you're going to knees going to bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. That's how I like to read it.
Mm-hmm.
These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. That's how I like to read it. Not just,
right.
I'm going to say,
these signs will just follow them that believe.
Yeah.
But it has to be in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. I like they shall cast out devils. Praise God.
Well,
Luke 10, it says, you know, that he given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing by any means. That's a promise.
That's a promise.
Nothing's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But we have in us the same spirit.
Amen.
That raised up Christ from the dead, if you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not born again, Satan is your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But we that are born again, God is our Father. Praise God. God is our Father, creator of the universe.
Yes.
The one that called all things into existence. He is in our lives.
Yes, thank God.
He's able to do. So these signs shall follow them that believe. If you are a believer, praise God, these signs should be active in your life.
Yes.
Acting.
This is a great commission that he's given everyone that believe in his name. Amen.
Yes, he gives them his name, praise God. Hallelujah. Because his name is all powerful.
Yes, his name is all powerful.
And we can invoke the name of Jesus on any given situation. That's what we have to keep in mind. Whatever it is, we put the blood on it.
Amen.
Put the word on it.
Amen, praise God.
Amen, pray as well and thank the Lord for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going on, yes. Praise the Lord. There's some of you out there in Radio Land, you may be suffering from some kind of abnormality, some type of problem in your body. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the healer. He's right there, right where you are. And all you need to do from a committed, serious heart is to say, Lord, I give you my life. And you give him your life, the life will be changed. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be operating in your life as a child of God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen. I remember you mentioned about anointing. You know, the anointing. I remember reading 1 John 2:27 where it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And right. ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. It's all about Jesus, abiding in him, that the word abide in you. And you can ask anything according to his will, and he will give it to you.
Yeah, but it has to be through obedience.
Obedience.
Mm-hmm. Because what happened is that you have to be obedient.
Must be. Must be. He was obedient to the cross.
You can't do things your own.
He was obedient.
You have to humble yourself under the mighty hands of God.
That's what it says. And he will exalt you in due time.
Yes, he will. He has his own due time for you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he wants to do. Amen. You were part of the plan. Not through a cookie cutter, but you were part of the plan.
Amen.
When God allowed you to come into the earth realm, in the family which you are in, God blesses you, blesses that family as well, if they train up the child in the way he should go.
Jesus is our pattern son.
Yes,
and it said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. So it was the same obedience that he did, same obedience that we need to do for the Lord.
Well, the obedience with Jesus and what he did is that he stayed in contact, in touch.
Amen.
With the Father.
And that's how we're supposed to stay in contact with the Lord
that's
Jesus.
That's right.
Making him first in your life. Amen. Give it all to him.
All right, so let's look at these supernatural signs here that is for us all who are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ouch. Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
So they shall cast out devils. Mm. They shall speak with new tongues. Tongues of fire. Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I like this one. And they shall lay hands on the sick. Lord have mercy. And they shall recover.
Well, there are people today that we've laid hands on. They're recovering.
Amen.
They're in recovery.
Yes.
God's recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God. But you know, God only confirmed his word.
Yes.
See, that's why we have to be obedient to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
And what his word says.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read that down there, Minister Graham?
And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
They went everywhere preaching, but the Lord never confirmed them.
Mm-hmm.
He confirmed his word.
That's right. Praise God.
That's why he watches over his word. He hastens over his word to perform it. According to Jeremiah, I think 10th and 11th chapter there, it says that he hastened, God hastened to perform his word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that means that we can do things according to God's word, being obedient to what he has said, we'll get everything that we need. Praise God.
Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
So let's go on down here. It says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Mm-hmm. In my name they shall cast out devils.
Mm-hmm.
They shall speak with new tongues.
Mm-hmm.
If they take up any deadly thing,
mm-hmm.
it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Praise God.
They shall recover.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You have anything you want to add to that? Let's go on down here. Mark 16. Praise God. Everything with Mark 16. Mm-hmm. And this thing was minute. He confirmed his word.
Yes.
He didn't confirm the disciples, although he used the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He confirmed his word. And I tell you, he does the same thing today in the churches through obedience, to pastors being obedient and listening to the call of God. Listen, God performed, but God confirmed his word as well. Because what happened is that his word is alive.
Yes.
And when he invoked, or I invoked the word of God, it has to come to pass.
Yes, amen.
It has to come to pass through my belief system and being obedient unto him. Because he's good.
Yes, he is good.
I said he's good. Amen. And there are many out there in radio land, praise God. Some of you didn't have to go to work, but you're out there, you tune into the broadcast. And I pray that you will believe what this word says. Don't be like the man in James. What he did is that he looked in this perfect law of liberty and went on about his business. He forgot what manner of man he was. This is why we have to be a doer of the word and also a hearer of the word, glorifying God in everything. Let this word have free course in all of our lives. Change it, because he will change it. Praise God.
The word changes your life. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. How many more minutes we have? We have two more minutes. Praise God. We want to extend an invitation out there. We dare not close this broadcast without offering an illustration, an invitation, an anointing of the word that your life would be changed if you just open up your heart and receive. Mr. Glory, would
Amen.
You tell them?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart
yes.
that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness.
Yes.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Keep in mind out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast. Listen, you can be in the church building and not be saved. You can be in the organization and not be saved. But what is most important is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the scripture tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 26 that we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he's done for us. Well, thank God for everybody out there that tuned in the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
We just want you to stay tuned each week there so that you can receive the word of God. And I want to tell you something. We're not saying that the word is exhausted because of what we're saying. No, it's progressive. The word of God is progressive. You get progressive revelation out of what the word of God is saying. Well, we thank God for you out there. And I hope that this Sunday you'll go to church and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter who you are, in Jesus' mighty name. He loves you. He wants to save you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. The number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Hour. We'll be right back.